Please turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 1. If you looked at all of 51, 52, you'd say, wow, how are we going to get through that? And we're going to get through it by not covering every single verse, but we're going to hit the highlights here. And then next week, we're going to get into a study of Matthew, and which is going to work out kind of good because we'll be covering Matthew 1 and 2, which is kind of the Christmas story, a week before Christmas. And then on Christmas, Wednesday, we won't be having a service. And so that's where we're going. But chapter 51, verse 1 of Jeremiah. Last week, we saw Babylon, as she has done to others, so do to her. Babylon was a battle axe in the hand of God to wipe out the nations that were around Israel and also to judge Judah, to judge the Jews and destroy Jerusalem. We see more on the destruction of Babylon in chapter 51, and then we see a review of the destruction of Jerusalem in chapter 52. So chapter 51, 1, thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Leb Kamiah, which is a cryptic name for Babylon. So I'm going to be against Babylon, and those who dwell in Babylon is really what it's saying, a destroying wind. And going to verse 4, thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets for Israel. And then kind of 4, but Israel is not forsaken. Babylon will be forsaken from this time, from the time that he's reading, you know, the prophet is talking about in 51. From that time to this day, Babylon is completely destroyed. But Israel was judged and kicked out of the land, and Jerusalem was destroyed. But is it around today? Yeah. The Jews are around today. The city's around again. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah, by his God. He's disciplined them, but he hasn't forsaken them. The Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel, flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. So Babylon will be destroyed. God's going to allow the Jews to return, and he's really warning the Jews, and actually even the Babylonians. I judge Judah and Jerusalem, but I'm not going to ignore them. I'm not going to depart from them. I'm not going to let them stay destroyed. I'm going to let Babylon destroy it. So when you see the destruction of Babylon coming, get out. And so the Jews, what did they do? When the Medo-Persians came, they made a decree to go back to Jerusalem, and thousands of them did. They went back to Jerusalem, back to the promised land. And that's what Jeremiah is prophesying decades before that's going to happen. He's saying that's what you need to do. Flee from the midst. Warns the Babylonians and the Jews. Does he warn us today? Are there prophecies? In fact, we're going to cover the prophecies about mystery Babylon in the last days. And what does he tell us in Corinthians to do? Flee, get out from among them. You know, so our mission is to tell people we're living in the last days. We're living in a time where the world's going to be judged by God. And you want to get out. But we don't run to some place. We don't run back to Jerusalem like he was telling the Jews. We run to Jesus. And you get saved in Jesus because there's a warning from God that judgment's coming upon this world. He always warns. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand, verse 7, that made all the earth drunk by the grapes of wrath. The nations drank her wine. Therefore, the nations are deranged. God used Babylon to bring his grapes of wrath on the nations, according to the chapters we've been reading for the last few weeks. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We, Jews, would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. And so God's saying, forsake her and let us go. Everyone to his own country, all the other nations that were conquered by Babylon and taken slavery, you know, go back to your countries too, because Babylon's done. For her judgment reaches to the heaven and it is lifted up to the skies. And then verse 10 is specifically for the Jews. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Go back to Zion. So we need to get out. And this is, again, a prophecy decades before it happened. When it does happen, let's go to Zion. Do people want to mock the Zionist movement today? You know, it's like those Jewish Zionists who say that they're supposed to go from all the places of the world back into the land of Israel. That's being Zionist. That's what God was telling the Jews to do from the Babylonian captivity. And now for 2,000 years they've been scattered, and it's a Zionist movement back in. And God is told in the prophets to go back in the last days. And there was a rabbi saying to the entire Jewish diaspora, every Jew that's in the, this is like last week, he was saying, rabbi said, it's time to get out of the nations. Don't you see what's happening? All this anti-Semitism, you've got to come back to the land of Israel. Exactly like what's happening 2,500 years ago, 2,600. Make the arrows bright, gather the shields, verse 11. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. So God was going to raise up the Medo-Persians. This is way before they're even able to do this. God's naming them. The Medes are going to come, the Medo-Persians. He's going to raise them up to topple the Babylonians. Does God raise up and take down today? So there's people that really, even Christians, that get really freaked that, you know, we got to fight the globalists. Are the globalists being raised up by God? They're being raised up by God. Just like God, you know, we got to fight the Babylonians. Well, they were being raised up by God to judge the nations and judge Israel for what? For its sin. And is the world in sin and rebellion against God? Yeah, so what God's going to... You people want man to rule you? Okay, I'm going to give you the globalists because that's what they think. What they think is we're just going to rule the world. If we have to kill a few billion people to get the power, that's okay. You want man to rule you? Okay, you get it. You get the mystery Babylon of the globalists of the last days. And so he's raising it up. There's no stopping this train. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon, make the guards strong, set up the watchmen, prepare for the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. Did the people do that on the day that they were destroyed by the Medo-Persians in Babylon? No. Why did they not do it? God's saying, well, you're going to be invaded, you're going to be conquered by the Medes, so you better set watches, you better be looking, you better be paying attention to what Cyrus is doing outside your gates. Because he's coming for you, because I'm lifting him up. And they didn't. Why? Because they thought they had impregnable walls of Babylon, and they all got drunk inside the city, and we saw that in Daniel chapter 5 a couple weeks ago. So they were partying. Are people wanting to party today? We tell people, the Lord's coming back. The last days are here. You need to get right with Jesus. What do they want to do? They want to drink. They want to party. They want to just forget about things. Just don't bother me. Verses 13 to 18, Babylon is judged for their worship of idols, useless idols. Verse 19, the portion of Jacob. Who is the portion of Jacob? God. It's not like them, the idols of 13 through 18 that the Babylonians were worshiping. For he, the true God, is the maker of all things. And Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You, Babylon, are my battle axe and weapons of war. For with you, I will break the nation in pieces. With you, I will destroy kingdoms. Again, this is decades before they're about to be destroyed. But Jeremiah is writing this prophecy to the Babylonians. And he, at the end of this, he tells his scribe, take this information about the destruction of Babylon, go to Babylon, read it, roll it up, put a rock in it, throw it in the Euphrates. So, just to read it, and at the time, they're all powerful. Babylon is rising in power, but he's telling them, I'm going to use you as a battle axe in your next decades that you're doing your thing, but when I'm done with you, then it's going to come against you. Verses 21 to 23, the extent of Babylon's power to completely break the nations in their pride. And then 24, Manai will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. So I'm using you as a battle axe, but you really enjoy it. You really enjoy slaughtering my people and wiping out Jerusalem and then taking the goods from the temple into your places and having a drunken party on the night that I'm going to have you destroyed using the vessels of gold and silver that came out of the temple. So then I'm going to deal with you. So it's almost like if, you know, it's really in a sense, if a Hamas or Hezbollah leader had this in their mind, this chapter in their mind, and God says, I'm going to use you to bring some conflict to Israel. No, you got to get somebody else. Because as soon as you use me to be some kind of judgment upon Israel, then you're going to realize our people enjoyed it too much, and we thought it was us that was doing it, and then we're going to be judged. And find somebody else. But that's really what happens. You know, God wants to use judgment, but what the Babylonians should have done is said, you are the God who brought us here to bring judgment to Israel because they started worshiping idols. And you caused us to judge your people so that they would cast their eyes back on you. Well, we're going to turn away from our idols too because you are the true God and we want to worship you. That's what they should have done. But because they go and stay in their idolatry and just stay living for the world, then God has to judge them. Behold, I'm against you, O destroying mountains, who destroys all the earth. Verse 25 of Jeremiah 51 says the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. Now, we're going to jump into the New Testament to look at Mystery Babylon, the same kind of prophecies of destruction on Mystery Babylon, Revelation 18:9. So, we learn from Daniel, in our study, was it last week? Week before it? In Daniel 5, how long, you know, in one night, basically one day, Babylon was destroyed by the Medo-Persians. In Revelation, there's another Babylon. And people actually kind of they struggle with the fact that Jeremiah is so perfectly clear, Babylon will never be rebuilt. But then you have the fact that there's mystery Babylon in the last days that God judges. So if it's never rebuilt, and where's the city supposed to be? So if the kingdom of the Antichrist has a city called Babylon, then where's it going to be? And people say, well, it's actually the Vatican, city on seven hills. And some people say, well, no, it's got to be in Babylon. It's going to be, the city is going to be rebuilt. Well, Jeremiah makes it perfectly clear that's not going to happen. Some people have said it's New York City, you know, New York, because of all the commerce that we do. Other people say, and I've checked, New York City is nothing on commerce compared to several other shipping ports. And there's all these other places. And so we're going to work our way through here because there's another last days Babylon that's destroyed in what? 1 hour instead of one day. And is God going to use the Antichrist as his battle axe? He is. He's going to use the Antichrist and the globalists as his battle axe against the entire world. And what is he doing by doing that? He's separating in the last days. Because is there people that become Christians in the last days? They do. And why is that going to be? Because people are going to know in such a clear way the Bible said 2,000 years ago, that guy is coming. And not only did the Bible and those Christians that have disappeared on us tell us, don't take the mark of the beast and don't follow him, but there's angels 3.5 years into the tribulation, there's angels flying, you better not. You better not. But then the Antichrist is going to be testing you. You better not take his mark. You better not worship the Antichrist because then you'll be lost forever in hell. And so people are going to be sifted. The souls of people are going to be sifted. You want to be able to buy and sell and take, so you got to take the mark? Okay, you're going to go to hell. You want to trust in the God who said these things were going to happen 2,000 years ago and believe the angels that are flying are from God and not from Satan? Because I'm sure the Antichrist is going to say, those are, you know, Klingon angels. You know, yeah, don't listen to them. And so people are going to say, I don't care about my life. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do what God said. And if they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. And so there's going to be a myriad of people that come into the kingdom as the Antichrist is doing his thing, as being raised up as a battle axe to sift the last billions of humans on planet Earth. Which way are you going to go? And it's not going to be like today we talked to him, oh, you know, I got things to do. I want to go to a movie. I want to get an education. During the tribulation, it's going to be so crazy. so crazy. People, it'll be a go, no go. Yes, I'm going to worship the Antichrist so I can eat today, or no, I'm not, because I want to live eternally. So, Revelation 18:9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, with this mystery Babylon from chapter 17, will weep and lament for her, mystery Babylon, when they see the smoking of her burning. So this Babylon is going to be burning. Standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. Now think about this. Is this a literal city, or is it corporate Babylon that encompasses the entire world? And I'm going to try and make a case through this. It's a corporate Babylon. And this is contrary to what most prophecy teachers say, that it's actually going to be the whole world system. In a sense, is Amazon global, you know, as a corporation? How about, you know, Elon Musk and Starlink and everything global? These corporations are getting more and more power, more and more global, more and more government power. And it's a system that rules the whole world. And basically, people during the tribulation will be saying, if they wanted to just say the corporate entity that rules the world, Babylon. And so look at it from that way, and you'll see that it makes perfect sense. The merchants of the earth, verse 11, will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. No one is going to buy anything. We're going to see the list here. Anything. Nobody buys anything anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, and cinnamon and incense, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and horses and chariots. And now look at this. And bodies and souls of men. What do you think that's talking about? Human trafficking. They're going to be trafficking slaves around the world. Has that already happened? In fact, one of the things that's really freaking out everybody in the deep state is that Trump's got a real FBI guy, and if he goes and says, okay, now we're going to find out what happened to those 300,000 kids that have crossed the border that we've lost contact with. Trafficking in the bodies and souls of people. That's everything. Now, see, if the Vatican is Babylon, they don't trade in all that stuff. That Rome doesn't trade. Nobody trades in everything. And so then Revelation 18:14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more. You're not going to find anything at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her, a city or a global corporation, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, rich, the rich globalists, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Now this is the emphasis. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, the entire sea, the entire merchant industry stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what is like this great city? Turn to Revelation 16:17. I made the same point when we went through our Revelation study. So all the ships are sitting off the ports of the entire globe, saying, wow, the smoke of her burning, Babylon. Well, that would mean New York City, Shanghai, every port in the world. If what I'm saying is true, that means every port of the world. The ships are setting off. Major earthquakes are destroying everything in every port, every country. But they're okay because they're out in the ocean. And the earthquakes, you know, until an earthquake can create a tsunami, which in the middle of the ocean can only be a foot or two. It's not until it gets close to land that it piles up and destroys everything. So the ships, on the day that Revelation 16, 17 is happening, they're not affected. They're going to be the only ones not affected by what has just hit the planet. What hits the planet? The seventh bowl of wrath. Revelation 16, 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake that has not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts. That's Jerusalem, most people think. And the cities of the nations fell. Every city in all of the nations are complete. All the high rises go down. Every wall falls. Every building collapses. I mean, we're talking massive earthquake. The nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Exactly the same kind of language Jeremiah was using on Babylon in chapter 51. Then every island fled away. Japan won't even exist. Hawaii won't exist. And the mountains were not found. The mountains are going to also have global tectonic topographical changes. The mountains will be flattening out. The valleys will be lifting up, it says in Isaiah. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. And Revelation 6 is also a parallel to this. It says the same thing. The men will be hiding themselves in a cave because of the debris falling. Could be an asteroid hit. It could be volcanoes blowing up and rupturing because the crust has been ruptured by an asteroid hit that set off a global earthquake and major tectonic upheaval. And the rocks are going to be coming down from these explosions. We don't know, but the people on the earth will know. If you're out in the open, you're going to be dodging bullets all day long. You're going to be looking for getting under the ground. Going back to Revelation 18, 19. So now, wouldn't it be true? See, this is the same time. So all the sea merchants in the world are watching the burning of all the cities of the world. What did that? The global earthquake. And if you are on a ship and you are hearing radio broadcasts of Asia's in earthquake, Europe's in earthquake, Africa's in earthquake, South America's in earthquake, North America's in earthquake, what would you be doing as a captain? You'd be saying, "We're done. It's all over." The whole Babylonian commercial system of just buy, buy, buy and ignore God and do pleasures, it's all going to be gone. And that goes along with the weeping of earlier in chapter 18. They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." What they did to you, God's going to do to them. Isn't that exactly what that was the title of our study last week? What Babylon did to everybody the first time, God did to them and destroyed them and wiped them out, never to be seen again. What Babylon's going to do to God's people, spilling the blood of Christians and Jews, God's going to bring that wrath back on her system. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "Thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore." And again, I know it says city, which is different than corporation, but it's like the city of Babylon is the whole world. You know, the world's gotten so small that the whole global corporation thing is like a city. Back to Jeremiah 51:26. Are we glad we're not going to be there for that? "They shall not take from you a stone for a corner," talking about the Babylon's destruction, "nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever." When they get done destroying you, Babylon, they're not going to even use your city walls to build something else. They're going to make it so destroyed, it's never going to be built again, fulfilled to this day. Verse 27 to 33, the bars and gates were open after the Euphrates River was cut off. and the people were so drunk that the attack that took the city by surprise. And it really, it's a fact of history. You know, the Euphrates is flowing, and the Medo-Persians realized, oh, there's this one area that if we just build dig a bunch of ditches right here, and leave the dam of the earth here, and then the Euphrates keeps flowing, but we build big ditches, and then we break the dam, and so the Euphrates wants to go that way instead of downstream, so the Euphrates dries up for a few minutes, and they go in underneath the grates and stuff to get under the wall and into the city, and then open all the gates, and everybody comes in. Verses 34 and 35, the Jews complaining about what Babylon did to them. And then verse 36, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. A prophecy of how Babylon was going to be destroyed by the Medo-Persians. Verses 37 to 44, more emphasis on the complete destruction of Babylon. Chapter 51, verse 45, my people go out of the midst of her. Does that sound like that verse in Corinthians? Come out and be separate. Don't be in the Babylonian system. Then don't be in the Babylonian system that's being formed. My people go out from the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land, a rumor will come 1 year. And after that, in another year, a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. So this is God telling the Jews and anybody that would listen. This is how you'll know the time is clear. There's going to be a battle here, battle there. Then it's going to come ruler against ruler, civil war kind of things. And then the real destruction is going to come. So, and that's what happened. The Babylonians were inside of their city because they're starting to lose wars, and it was coming closer and closer. They sat inside thinking everything is going to be okay while they had a drunken party. And that was the warning decades earlier. When you see this kind of conflict coming, are we seeing increasing conflicts everywhere around us? Did Jesus give us the same kind of warning? When you see rumors, you know, wars and rumors of wars, you see this, you see this, you see this. Watch and know that it's getting close. 47 to 48, judgment is because of their idolatry, because of the Babylonian idolatry. 49 and 50, as Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. And what you did to them, I'm going to do to you. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. Get out of Babylon. Go back to Israel, which they did do. 51 to 58, more prophesied judgment because of what Babylon did to Jerusalem and because of idolatry, fulfilled exactly like Jeremiah said. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded, and now, so he's done. So that was the last, those are the last verses about the destruction of Babylon. Now, and this is written in the, early on in Zedekiah's reign. The word which Jeremiah the prophet, verse 59, commanded Sarai, the son of Neriah, the son of Mahaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And Sariah was the quartermaster. So for some reason, Zedekiah had to go to Babylon, probably, you know, make a deal, shake hands with Nebuchadnezzar about being a good boy and everything. And so it was at that time that Jeremiah told the scribe, write this down, give it when you go to Babylon with the king Zedekiah. This would have been in the sixth year of Zedekiah's reign, which is 592 B.C., 6 years before Jerusalem was sacked. And the prophecy describes that Babylon itself will be judged on October 12th, 539 B.C. That's when it fell, we know, 53 years later. So he's handing a prophecy to his scribe to take to Babylon to read 53 years before Babylon is destroyed. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, Then you shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off. Now, when he's doing this, Babylon is awesome. Babylon is beautiful, and it continues to get even more powerful and more beautiful in the city until Nebuchadnezzar dies, you know, and leaves it. And then it starts to decay away to the point where Nebuchadnezzar goes, look at what I have built. When in Daniel, when he's then, turned into an animal to humble him. And so when you arrive in Babylon, see, read all these words, and you'll say, God's going to destroy this place, and people would have mocked him. They were, you can't. God would never judge America or judge any other place. So that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever, fulfilled to this day. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, are we going to do chapter 52 in 5 minutes? We're going to try. So just imagine that. Can you imagine just Babylon is the power of the world. They're going to get ready to be conquering everybody. And the scribe just says, this is what Jeremiah says. You're going down. And it's never going to be built again. And when he threw that in there, they would have not even tried to go dive it and save it for posterity. They would have just laughed him to scorn. And here we have prophecies of the last days that are getting ready to come. And most people mock and scoff today. But it is about to happen. Chapter 52, verse 1. So we're going back now. This is an exact repeat of Jeremiah 39, which we have covered in detail in the past, which is why I'm not going to repeat it in detail. This is Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. He also did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For because of the anger of the Lord, this happened in Jerusalem and Judah, till he finally cast them out from his presence. Then Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. After having made a vow that he would be a good boy and pay tribute, he then rebels because he was trusting in Egypt. And so here we have, and some people think, why did somebody put this back in here at the end of Jeremiah? Insert it again. It was already over there. And I think it's because here's Babylon's being destroyed, but remember, it was all because of what you did. It's all what Israel did, that Babylon was raised up to judge Israel. Verses 4 through 6, that Babylon's going to come and bring siege to the point where there's nothing to eat. Except their children, we know from other sections of scripture. Verses 7 through 11, King Zedekiah tries to escape, but is hunted down, sons are killed, and his eyes are put out. Zedekiah was told by Jeremiah, if you just surrender, give the city to Babylon, you will live, your family will live, the city will be, kept without being destroyed. He refused to do it, so he thinks he can escape. But he doesn't escape. And he gets captured, his sons get killed in front of his eyes, and then his eyes get put out. Verses 12 through 23, destruction of Jerusalem, the temple, and the taking of the temple treasures to Babylon. Verses 24 to 27, the killing of the surviving elites. The elites had their, bomb shelters or whatever inside of Babylon, and they live. And so then Babylon says, okay, I want to get all the bigwigs. And they probably thought, he's going to keep the bigwigs around. No, he gathered them all up, slaughtered them all. That's what's happening there. And a total, according to historians, 4,200 were killed according to historical records, which was half of the city at the time. In 70 AD, when the Romans killed everybody that was in Jerusalem, 600,000 to a million were killed. When the Romans did in 70 AD. Verse 28, these are the people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the seventh year. 3,023 Jews. He came three times into Jerusalem. The first time he took 3,000. That was Daniel. was among those, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. That's Ezekiel was in that group. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, his general, the captain of the guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. So when the city was completely destroyed, there was only 745 persons that were alive, uninjured, that could make the walk to Babylon. All the persons were 4,600. So 4,600 Jews were taken total, were taken to Babylon. And during Ezra, about 50,000 returned. So they went and did what Jeremiah said. Those people did what Jeremiah said. What did Jeremiah say? Make babies and live there and come back. You're going to be coming back. And so they did that because they went from that small of a crowd to more. And then 31, now it came to pass in the 37th year of captivity of Jehoiachin, an earlier king that Nebuchadnezzar had just taken and locked up, king of Judah, in the 12th month, in the 25th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the first year of his reign, lifted the head of Jehoiakim, took him out of jail, and started feeding him. So he was being nice. You know, when the new king, evil Merodach, took power, he took Jehoiachin out of the dungeon and started treating him nice. Let's close with Jeremiah 40, verse 2. So go back to Jeremiah 40. Jeremiah 40, verse 2. This is, the Babylonians have conquered Jerusalem. They are taking captives to Babylon. The captain of the guard, Nebuzaradan, is talking to Jeremiah. And he's being nice to Jeremiah. He's telling Jeremiah, you can come with us to Babylon. You can stay here, whatever you want to do. We'll give you food. We'll give you clothing. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord, your God, has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it. You know, God prophesied it was going to happen, and it's happened. And has done just as he said, and actually he's saying, through you. He did exactly what he said through you to these people. Because you people have sinned against the Lord and not obeyed his voice. Therefore this thing has come upon you. So Nebuzaradan, the acts of the Lord, along with Nebuchadnezzar, the battle acts of the Lord, you know, we're doing this to you because your God told you to tell them to stop worshiping idols, and they didn't do it. And so we're here, and actually everything that God said was going to happen to you has happened. Who knows what happened to Nebuzaradan? Maybe he understood, and you know what? I'm not going to worship idols because that is your God, and I want him to be my God. And I want to be, I know, you've also written decades ago, you had a scribe come to my town, and I was there in the crowd. We don't know if he was there in the crowd. But if he was there in the crowd, and he reads to Babylon what's going to happen to them with those chapters that we were just reading, and then threw it in the wind, this place is going down. If Nebuzaradan was there, if decades later, and he's, you know, aware, and he's just repented, and he's not part of the destruction. We have the same written word of God. It's telling us very clearly what's coming. We want to embrace it, right? Everybody here is embracing the Lord Jesus, our way out. No worshiping idols, no other gods, no worshiping the flesh and going after the things of the flesh. We will be spared because of the shed blood of Jesus. And everybody out there that just ho-hums and yawns at us and tells us we're crazy or acts like we're crazy, they just don't get it. But it's going to come, whether they like it or not. And we're here to just warn them. And hopefully some will listen. And we know some are listening. We know some people are giving their lives to Jesus. And that's what we're here to help them do. Father, we thank you for the prophet Jeremiah and just these this year of going through this incredible prophetic book, God. And as we see so many parallels to the world that we live in today, we pray that it would just cause us to double down on our own, you know, passion to truly let you rule our lives and to turn away from the things of the world that can distract. that we would just have deep prayer and compassion for the lost and the ones that are being deceived, and that you would direct our paths to be able to minister to people that need to hear the truth. And we thank you for this book and pray that you would just be glorified in our lives as we've gone through it together, to let it burn into our lives and make a difference in the way we think and the way we act in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sinking very deep in sin, and I never thought there'd ever be an end. I kept taking detours down the wrong road, wondered if Jesus could ever be my friend. Then came this wondrous knocking at my heart, and his voice said, open up and let me in. Humbly I opened up the door of my heart, and I knew the Son of God just entered in. Well, suddenly I realized that I had been forgiven. A chill rose up like mountains on my skin. Overcome with the feeling, I knew I was seeing. His precious blood just cleansed me from my sin. Lord God, my Father, pictured by your Son who set me free. Lord God, my Father, I'll keep falling on my knees in humble submission unto thee. Well, suddenly I realized that I had been forgiven. A chill rose up like mountains on my skin. Overcome with the feeling, I knew I was seeing. His precious blood just cleansed me from my sin. Lord God, my Father, pictured by your Son who set me free. Lord God, my Father, I keep falling on my knees in humble submission unto thee. In humble submission unto thee.
Yeah. Isn't it kind of, there is something different when we get on our knees, isn't there? You know, next to our bed or wherever, and just, you know, pour our hearts out to God and in humble submission say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.